Okay, guys. So let's do the sugya of Mukaf Gvil. So, Nachum, remind me in the Gemara, how do we get to this question of Mukaf Gvil? Our Gemara.
Oh,
yeah, there you go.
I did not.
Someone asked me, read the sugya. Yes, the sugya, the one we've been doing.
So I got confused when I read the sugya on...
No, the sugya. What is it?
That's why I was...
Oh, God.
I know.
The sugya. How did we get to Mukaf Gvil?
Oh, right. We said whether it was part of the components of the letter versus...
Okay.
The...
We were going through different things that could invalidate the letters of the Sefer Torah.
Yes.
Well, it's filling, really. We'll get to whether these are different eventually. But, and the Gemara was trying to find one which invalidates the letter but isn't obvious. Right? And the Gemara introduces this principle of Mukaf Gvil. What does Mukaf Gvil literally mean?
Just to surround the letter with parchment.
Correct, it has to be surrounded by parchment. But there is this halacha that in order for the letter to be valid, it needs to have, again, Sofros guys, right? This is important, right? You can't have, you need, now, there are, right off the bat, just practically, there are two ways in which, right, there are two classic ways in which a letter might not be surrounded by parchment, and we got to figure out which of those is the real meaning, right? Why might something not be surrounded by parchment? Well, there's a few, really.
It's touching the edge of the...
Good. So one is that it's... let's do it this way. One is the negative way, right? What Nachum is highlighting is the negative way, meaning it isn't surrounded by parchment, right? One way of looking at Mukaf Gvil is you need actively to have parchment around all four sides, and therefore, let's say it goes all to the edge of the page, right? It's not actively Mukaf Gvil, and the lack of Mukaf Gvil is literally, right? Sometimes, another way of understanding Mukaf Gvil is that...
It's touching another letter.
It's touching another letter, right? That Mukaf Gvil doesn't mean you need parchment, it's that there must be space between another letter, which 90% of the time means...
Isn't that Pashut?
You understand those are two different things.
I'm saying,
meaning,
right?
One is to say that when we say you need a letter which is surrounded by parchment, we mean you need a letter which is surrounded by parchment. And therefore, if it's not surrounded by parchment, not touching another letter, right? It goes to the bottom of the page.
Letter is posture that it's possible.
Correct, but that Mukaf Gvil might just be another way of saying that, right? Meaning, what is Mukaf Gvil saying? Is it that it needs to be surrounded by parchment or that it can't be...
But
touching another letter, you know, or something like that, right?
Something that's not
pashut. Okay, that's not necessarily pashut, right? Meaning, if they meet at the very edge, no, they could blur together. They could just be meeting like this, right? Mamash, right? Like, you know, it's not necessarily obvious. Like script, you know, you can still make out the letters, not necessarily as obvious. But what I want to do with first, before we get into the details of what Mukaf Gvil is I want to figure out the question we've asked on several things here is, whatever this category is called Mukaf Gvil, is it a universal category? Right, meaning, in halacha, is something not considered writing if it doesn't have Hakafat Gvil? Or is this a Sefer Torah halacha? And like we did with the other things, we will test this by looking at get. And in the process of that, we'll try to figure out what exactly is this category called Mukaf Gvil at all. So, the Gemara that we need to look at is a very, very weird Gemara. It's a bit hard, okay? Here's the case. You have a husband who's a shtickel jerk, okay? Right? He wants to divorce his wife. But while he is divorcing his wife, he also wants to express in the most in-your-face way that he can, how stingy he is. So, what he says is, he tries to, Areze giteich vanier shali. Right? He says to his wife, here is your writ of divorce, but I'm not even letting you keep the paper. Right? This is your get, but the paper is mine. So what's the halacha, Daniel? Does that work? No. Enem Begoreshet. It's the first source here, right? Enem Begoreshet. Why?
Because it's not like she has the paper.
Yeah, he didn't give her the get, right? You have to give the get. Now, in one of the most bizarre things probably in halacha that you probably never have seen this, is there is a very, very, very strong emphasis in halacha that a get must be given, right? It has to be given. Vinatan. So, if I asked you, okay, knowing that you must, that if Reuven wants to divorce his wife, Leah, he must give her the get, how do you imagine? Have you ever seen a get? Did you ever go to the right jachter to see a get? Good. None of you have ever seen a get. How would you expect?
They're gonna say, "Oh, you guys should have. He should have taken
guys."
I'm like,
you know, no, he does. Usually, he does often take guys. Really? I know that he's taking guys. That's why I asked.
I thought it's
right. Like, so if I asked you, okay, like, you there's a halacha. You must give the husband must give the get to his wife in order for a divorce. So if you go to a Beis Din, how do you think? Right. This is the get. Daniel is divorcing Gavi. Right. This way, we don't have to be so worried here. Right. No bad thing here. Right.
What? No bad.
There's no bad omen here, right? Now, I'm assuming they're not getting married, so they're also not getting divorced. Okay? Fine. Don't do it.
You can't get a halakha.
Fine. Nachum, here. Nachum, you can divorce me, okay?
Okay.
Go.
You can't,
go.
Can't have a
right?
halakha.
How do you
either.
Think, since the halakha emphasizes vinasan, how do you think that he has to give it to me?
Happy birthday.
Guys, do you think this works? Medical. Guys, what do you think? Does this work? Is this how you imagine it?
Yeah.
You don't need a guess.
Good. So the irony of it is that we are so obsessive about the word vinasan that we're worried about that it's going to go from being a netina to a likicha, right? That it won't be given, it'll be taken, right? And when he hands it to me like this, right? So instead, this is what they do. Give it to me. Instead, this is actually, if you go to a Beis Din, this is what they do. Go. Drop it. Drop it.
Oh, drop it.
They say, okay, put it down and leave your hands open. Right? It's a very bizarre.
That's a little.
It's very bizarre, but this is what we do. So, but this doesn't work because if he keeps the paper, right, that she's not getting the get. Fine. But if she says if he says shetachzirili at ani yar harayzim ugrasha, but if he says okay, you take it, but then you have to give it back to me. So does that work?
Yeah.
Yes, because he gave it, he just wants it back, right?
Yes.
And this comes to your point before, as you said, right. And the almanat in general, right, on condition in halacha is considered external, meaning he gives it to her, it's fully hers, the divorced. It just, there's a condition attached with it that she then has to give it back. If she doesn't, it retroactively nullifies the get.
It's fully hers once she gives it back. Which kind of
seems it was fully hers before, but if she doesn't give it back, it nullifies it retroactively. Those are different. You're all thinking, how is that different, right?
I understand.
Right, meaning there's a possibility for a retroactive nullification,
like,
but it's,
it is hers.
It is hers,
but like it becomes finalized once she gives it back.
It becomes irreversible, not finalized. It was finalized, but as long as you haven't fulfilled the condition, you could still reverse it by not fulfilling the condition.
Right.
Okay.
In theory, then, say she gives it back to him, and then. Later in life, this guy wants to divorce someone else. Could he, in theory, just like erase that part of it?
It has to be written lishma. Has to be written lishma, which is lishem ha'isha, or as the Gemara puts it, lishma. Well, this is how we. To summarize all the complicated halachos of this, what we say in the Beis Din is this get is written lishma, vilishmo, ulishem gerushin. Right, for him. Divorcing her for the sake of divorce. Okay? Right, meaning, because you could have a get which is not written lishma, right, or lishmo, right? Meaning, he could be written for him, but he has two wives with the same name. Yes, this is the case in the Gemara, right? What if a husband has two wives by the same name? Can he write a generic get? The answer is no. Lishma vilishmo, lishem gerushin. Similarly, if there are two men with the same name, with wives of the same name, they can't write it. You know, v'chule. There's a lot of.
There's no sense because a man is not allowed to marry a second wife who has the same name as his first one.
Yes, he is. Because we don't care about. Because the Gemara doesn't care about different chumras of Yehuda Chasid. And then there's L'shem Gerushin, which excludes. What does L'shem Gerushin exclude?
Just like, you know, by accident. Whatever.
No, so, well, why would you write it by accident? So the classic case is, come on, guys, you know why you'd write it by accident.
Drunk.
A play, a skit.
No, you're so frim. You're learning to be a sofer. Right? You're writing a theoretical. For Yosef and Shimon?
The drunk answer works too. You're drunk, so you're writing
the drunk, like,
who, when they're drunk, says, I am going to write. First of all,
I hate you. I'm.
No, that's the Shim Gershin. What do you mean? That is for Gershin.
Huh?
That is for Gershin.
But he doesn't really mean it. He's
doesn't matter. That's the Shem Gerushin.
Why is that the Shem Gerushin?
When he's sober, like when Nachash Verush killed Das.
So what? That's a different question. Does his Das count? But it's the Shem Gerushin.
No, but
at that moment, he's still right.
Isn't that the whole thing with Get Chamor for a Kohen?
I mean, there are Gel Chomer. That's a bit different. Let's hold the Gel Chomer.
The Gel Chomer, though, like
to prevent that. Yes, yeah. No, something done in a bout of anger, right? And depending on the level of intoxication, still counts.
Depending on the level.
But that's not a class, right? That's a case where it's L'shem Gerushin, but it doesn't count legally. I'm saying what might be a get that's written not L'shem Gerushin, not.
Stop your practicing to write a get.
You're practicing to write, and whatever. Now, it could be that you really hope that this couple gets divorced. So you're like, hey, as long as I'm doing a thought experiment, I'll write. Or it could be that, whatever, they have generic names, right?
Yeah, this one's not going to work.
Right? Right, or just generic names. And Avram married to a Sarah. So you write, Pitom, it's like...
Avram, Sarah.
You know, that happens, right? You know, this can happen.
Do you have to use her maiden?
You know, I have a friend. We have friends where her name is Rachel. Mm-hmm. His name is Yaakov. And they dated for 7 years because they were dating for high school before they got married. So you can imagine that, yeah, sometimes you get a pasuk, right? That
funny.
You have a pasuk just waiting for you, like
they're
pre-written.
Sons?
What?
How many sons do they have?
They do not have 12 sons yet. Maybe one day.
How many sons do they have? And are their names Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, whatever?
No. Okay, anyways. So,
that'd be great.
Anyways, so then the Gemara says, Bayra Papa, Bein Shita Leshita, Ubein Teva Leteva Mai. So, Daniel, this particular husband is a shiko ridiculous, and he says, okay, I don't want the whole paper. I just want the space between the lines and the space between the words. I don't want the whole paper. I just want the space.
Wait,
does that work?
I'm trying to think how that would work.
What's the point?
Yeah, but that's not how the Gemara does this. That's not how the Gemara does this, right? The Gemara asks theoretical.
You have to cut it out, like...
What?
No, you scrape off the letters.
Oh, what? No, not scrape off the letters. You cut around it. Anyways.
Or you scrape off
the letters. So the Gemara says, that's obviously not good. V'tepuklei, to sefer echad amarachmana, the Torah calls a get a sefer. And if he wants the space between the lines, what will happen to the get?
It'd be too safe. Smart.
Yeah. It's not one book. So the Gemara says, you're right. Lotzricha dimi'ura. It must be where he wants the space between the lines, but the letters are interwoven. So it's not going to separate it, meaning he'll be able to... You'll be able to cut it.
That
can imagine what I'm doing?
A lot of work for...
Right? You can imagine what we're doing? Okay, I'm not saying this ever happened.
I know, I'm just saying,
that's a
bizarre case.
Let's get this out there. The Gemara is testing conceptual principles. Therefore, sometimes it asks questions that will never, ever, ever, ever happen.
What's the point on that then?
Because we test the concept, right? We're testing the principle here. Right? What exactly does it mean? Fine. So... But for our purposes, right, Tosfos picks up on the fact that this get looks, whatever the problem is, it looks like it is not what? Mukav Gvil. Why does it look like it's not Mukav Gvil, Daniel?
Cut out.
Because, yeah, he's separating out the space between the... This is the guy getting divorced? Sure. Why not? Okay, fine.
He's separating the space between the two.
Okay, fine. So Tosfos picks up on this, right? So Tosfos says, Mikan dikdik ravenu yitzchok bar meir, the rivam, the ein sorech beget, shtei kolot ve'ot mukefet, vil mi'arba ruchota, kedamar hacha dim mi'ura. So the Gemara had said that how would you make it that the husband would own the parchment between the words without it turning into Sefer Echad, Sefer Sheni? So what was the Gemara's answer? No, that it was Mi'ura. What's Mi'ura? Interwoven. Right? Which sounds like...
light.
Right? But if it's interwoven, that means like, you have a chaf going down. Well,
the letters are touching.
Right, sounds like the letters are touching, which means that a get does not need
Mukav
Gvil.
Oh, but interwoven can mean something else as well.
Okay, but this is how the Rivam...
I know. I'm just saying.
The Ri Omer, the Ein Mikan Raya, but the Ri says no. The Hadikamer de Meura. He says, you know what Mora is? It doesn't mean that the letters are touching. What does it mean? Hainu Regel, Chaf Shoshita El Yonah, Betet shel shita shetachtea. It means that there is a chaf sofit going into a tet. Right, meaning?
Oh, so they're not touching. They're just going
they're not touching. They're going into each other's airspace. Good. Arosh lamed behei, or lamed goes into the space in a hay. O bechet shelamale menu.
So it does need muka, yeah. According to the read.
So umikol makom near the read ain sarach raya lahachshir. But the read says, but you don't really need this. The davka b'sefer Torah tefillin mezuzah bein and shivot yod mukafot mukafot gvil. Kedamar ba'perek kakomet mishum dechdiv behu uchtavtam kvid ktivatama. I will beget lekakpeda. The filo sefer diobelin and beget the sefer because of get lesfiras dvarim hudiasa. But the Ri says at the end of the day, I don't think you need this at all because you need mukav kvil by
sefer Torah.
What does he say?
Only by those three.
Right. Good. So the first question we have here is that the Ri's final position is that. What is mukav kvil? Is it a din in writing, or is it a unique halacha in Sefer Torah? Sefer Torah, right? According to the first part of the read, though, his first suggestion, right? What would it emerge?
That it's just applying to Sefer Torah.
No, his first answer. First answer. Remember, the read said, "No, I could defend it."
Oh, so that it would apply to get as well.
Correct. And then if it can apply to get also, what would that tell you about mukav kvil? Is it definitional to writing?
Yes. Or,
yes, thank you. Right? It is definitional to writing. But the Ri in the end says this is not true, and he says the best proof is that a get doesn't need what?
Ksivatam.
It doesn't even need a ksiv, right? It doesn't need a klav, it doesn't need dio. What are you talking about? The Ramban goes even farther, and the Ramban says, right? He says, "Umistaber given to Hutel Kadav Chaloshon, Bein Megufan Shelanu, Bein Megufan Shelahem." He said, "A get can be written in what language?
Any
language, and it can be written on a person." There are all these ridiculous cases in Gittin of what happens if you write a get on an Evid, right on his hand, right? Like you can be written anywhere, right? What are you talking about? Mukav Gvil? There's no Gvil. There's no That's right. Funny. There's no Hebrew. There's no Gvil. There's no nothing.
What's this?
Right.
Oso lo chachmin.
Right. It. Right. Is it what?
What does he mean by it says ela kol os shikara oso lo chachmin velo tibesh? What is he saying?
Ah. Good. So now he says, "Valala shel zayid shel yad shel evet shel obed yad lovin mukav kvil." You don't need mukav kvil because you could write in English, you could write on a leaf, you could write anything. Elokolot shekoritam lochachem velotiv kshir beget ain't no god ben she ain't no god. As long as a kid can read it,
it doesn't matter whether.
Even if the letters are touching. So, what is the interesting thing? What does the Ramban tell us about our previous sugya?
That the readability makes it.
Readability makes it a letter. Touching
doesn't matter. So he's throwing out the components of the letter versus the.
Very good. Now.
Okay. But only with a get, not with a.
Correct. Okay. Now. That's the first point. Is Mukav Kvil a halacha in writing, generally, or a halacha in Sefer Torah? But now, let me ask you a question. What is Mukav Kvil? What is it? What does it mean?
We have two ways of answering.
Well, now let's go through these Rishonim. So, tell me, what is Mukav Kvil? What does it mean? Go back to Tosfos. Tell me, according to the Deot in Tosfos, what does Mukav Gvil mean?
Well, it clearly says Marva Reclusia. It's surrounded by four sides of parchment.
Okay, who realized the wild Kiddush of the Ri? All right, let's talk about what is Mukav Gvil and try to analyze it according to the Ri. Right? Here, draw me the Ri's. You're both an artist and a sofer. So, here, draw me the Ri's Mukav Kvil, right? What does he say? Sorry, not Mukav Kvil, Mu'ura. Right, what is it interwoven? It's a chaf going into a tet. A chaf on one line going into a tet. So write a...
So it's clearly not the
going into a tet, like chaf sofer.
A chaf on one line going into the tet on another line.
So it's clearly...
Or a lamed on one line going into the hay above it, whichever one you want. Right? Or write Sarah, right? Sarah's get, and on the bottom, right, you know, whatever. some lament that goes into it. Good, right? So he writes that this...
That's surrounded by cloth on the
wall. Oh!
That's not touching. It's
oh, good. So what does the Rik think? Now let's go back to defining Mukav Gvil. Mukav Gvil, according to the Rik, what does it mean? Does it mean that it can't be touching another letter? That it actively, in order to be defined as a letter, needs to be surrounded by parchment? Which
that
does he think?
One, the second one.
How do I know?
Because he says the lama could go into the neighborhood.
Because he's saying it would not be Mukav Gvil if a tet
was touched.
If a kuf went into a tet, or a lamed went into the airspace of a hay,
right.
Even if what? They didn't touch, it would not be. It would be lacking Hakafa Gvil because it wouldn't have.
Still be kosher.
I mean, so what does the Rik think? That whatever it is, whether it is about writing or Ketivat Tama, is it a positive definition? You must be surrounded
yes.
by parchment?
Yes.
Or yes, obviously, because he's saying even if it doesn't touch any other letter, as long as if it doesn't get its own airspace, right? I mean, it doesn't have around it its own parchment space, then
it's not Mukavvil.
Then it's not Mukavvil, right? So the Rik clearly takes a, in terms of the definition of what is Hakavakvil, right? What is Mukavvil? He says it's not that it's a negative definition, right? Meaning if it touches something else, it's possible. He said no. Positively, you need
its own airspace.
You need your own airspace. That's part of the letter, right?
It sounds like.
And by the way, there is an intuitive logic to this, right? Let me just give you an example of why this makes sense. Right, just 1 second, Gabi. If I was writing English here, Daniel, write English for me, right? Write an A.
Capital or?
I don't care. Good. Now write a B on top of it. Not on top, like over it. Like inside of it, you know? And then now write a C there also, and a D, right? Right? What happens when you start mixing letters together? Even if you could sort of fit them all together.
It looks like a blob.
It looks like a blob, right? Meaning part of writing is leaving differentiation, right? If you just sit, right? If, you know, you could scribble, or you could, like, if you wanted to make something become totally black, you could either scribble until it's totally black, or you could write an A, and then a B in the same place, and a C, and a D, and an E, right?
Nice.
And if you kept writing, eventually,
alphabet.
There you go, right? So there is a logic, which is to say that, no, leaving space is actually part of what qualifies something as a letter, right?
The Ramban says.
Right? I mean, there is a logic to that, right? That's what the Rik is saying.
But, like, they're not actually touching.
Ah, good. That's the Rik. But the other possibility, how does the Ramban clearly think Mukavvil? What does he say it is?
If it's not touching.
No!
Even if it is,
I mean, Mukavvil means that it's touching another, non-Mukavvil means it's touching another letter, right? How do I know that that's what the Ramban understands? How the Ramban understands it?
Because he says they could be touching.
Because he says that explicitly, right? He says even if they are touching, it's considered kosher as long as it's readable. Someone give me a very easy proof that letters can be touching and it can still be called letters.
Script.
Thank you, script. Oh, yeah. I didn't want you to overthink that one, right? Script. I know you don't normally write script anymore, but you know how script, everything's attached, right? Your signature is one long thing, right? No one looks at it and says, oh, I guess some people do, depending on how bad your handwriting is, right? But if your handwriting is good, no one looks at it and says, aha, that is zero letters, right? That is a blob.
That is a scribble.
Right? That is a scribble, right? No, they say that is cursive, right? That is cursive, meaning the Ramban is saying no, right? So here you have two extremes, right? Or you could have had a middle position, which is you don't need airspace, but you do need a separate letter for it to be qualified as writing, right? I mean, the Ramban says letters could even be touching.
You do need airspace.
Wait, no, think about it. There's two questions. One is what counts as writing. The other is what counts as mukavvil, right? The Ramban argues that even if things are touching, it's considered writing. It's just not mukavvil.
Right.
And for a get, you don't need mukavvil at all. At the other extreme, right, you have the Rik says Mukav Gvil is even when you have airspace, it's just not its own airspace.
Got it.
Right?
It still counts as writing, interesting.
Right? But you could have said, right, no, if things touch, then in halacha they're not called writing at all.
For the Ramban.
For the Ramban goes to the other extreme. Right? You could have had a middle position, which is if letters are touching, it doesn't count. But if they don't have their own airspace,
it's fine.
It's fine for forget, but not for Sefer Torah. Right? That could have been it. But the Ramban goes to the other extreme. So no, if they're touching, it's also fine.
I don't get why they don't bring up the problem of Sefer Torah and lines and boundaries.
We'll get to Sefer Torah. Okay. We have not done Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah is a fun sugya.
So
yeah,
is Duri saying that? That if a letter's in another letter's airspace but not touching, that is not mukaf bil.
Exactly. Right? That's exactly what he says. Right? So clearly, he thinks...
It sounds like he's saying the opposite there. It sounds like the Rivan is saying that that's not mukaf bil. And so then he's using that as proof that a get doesn't need mukaf bil. And then there he says no, because that it's in another...
Well, let's be careful, right? Meaning, the Re's final answer is that you don't need hakavad bil. But in his hava mina, he says, right, that would be... No, I'm sorry, you're right. The Re says that would be...
Not
It is mukaf bil.
Meaning, if it's in another airspace, it's still mukaf bil.
No, that's what I said. Yeah. Yeah, no, it is.
He says it needs its own airspace.
One second.
He said it needs its own airspace.
One second.
Not mukaf bil is when it's in the airspace of someone other.
Right, no, you're right. It's the other way around. Right, the Rivam, as the Re understands him, says that that doesn't count as mukaf bil. The Re says it is mukaf bil.
Or the Rivam versus the Re.
Right, meaning the Re says that you could have a get where they're mixed together.
And it's still mukaf
bil. And it's still mukaf bil if the letters are in each other's airspace. But by implication, the Re thinks the Rivam would call that not mukaf bil. Right? I think I might have flipped the names there. Right? But that's right. That's what it is, right? The Re thinks that's called mukaf bil because presumably holds like the Ramban that the letters have to be touching for it to not be mukaf bil. But the Re, the Rivam, who says that get doesn't need mukaf bil because if it needed mukaf bil, then a letter going to each other's airspace wouldn't count. Right? I mean, the way the Rivam, right? Potentially, the Re is saying this is what the Rivam thinks.
But the Re and the Rivam agreed that a get doesn't need mukaf bil.
Correct. The question is, what is mukaf bil here? Well, yeah. Okay. Now, the Ramban gets this from... Right, the Ramban gets this from a Yerushalmi. When the Yerushalmi, which you erave at a nikudot, it doesn't work. Okay, we'll leave that for a moment. Okay, let's go to the Or HaZeruah number 4. The Or HaZeruah says, because the Or HaZeruah goes to the opposite. The Or HaZeruah says, what do you need by get? What does the Or HaZeruah say? What do you need by get? Mukaf bil. Right, look where we are. We're in Hilchos Gittin. We're number 4.
Okay.
Right, the Or HaZeruah says, no, mukaf bil is even by Gittin. What does that seem to indicate? What does he think? Is mukaf bil about defining something as writing, or is it unique to Sefer Torah?
It's defining as writing.
It's defining writing. And if Omer Rabbi Yitzchak or Shimon Zatzal, the law of Dafka Meura Shnogin Zebazeh, Algon Shorosh Shalamet Shal Shita Tachnona Nichnas B'Toch Avir Shal Chet V'Shita Shal Mala O Regel Nun Pshuta Shal Shita Yonana O Avir Shal Tet O Avir Shal Ayin Shal Shita Tachnona Nagi Klala Hadadi Ulolam Koloshing V'Ul Makav Atayino Kriyot Uptula Kedisa V'Komet Raba. Right, and he quotes the position of the right of Yitzchak or Shimon. Raises Me'ora is even when they enter into others' airspace, and he said, "What you need by letters is real mukaf gvil." Ve'en lachalik v'lomer didavka by tefillin be'inan shdei oth mukavet gvil. Don't tell me that only by sefer Torah and tefillin you need mukaf gvil avalo beget. Daksiva ksuva bo ve'en zeksiva. Right, if you wanted the most clear formulation. He thinks that Mukokvil isn't a din and sefer Torah. It's
ktiva.
Yeah, it's ktiva, right? Sometimes Rishonim are very clear in what they want, right? Don't tell me it's a din and sefer Torah. It's a din in the word vikatav. And remember, I said many of these questions come down to the question of, do you think the issue here is katav, or do you think the issue here is tama? And then he says, "Umaisa bal if neimori avio hezrizal tzal begetchalik gvil et aot upaslo." That it once happened that the shaila came to my rabbi and he invalidated a get that didn't have, wasn't mukaf gvil. Okay, so now let us move to the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is one of the key sources here. The Yerushalmi says the following in Megillah: Reb Zeira b'shem Reb Chisda, haya hagimel mechale et hagvil. If the gimel, right, like took up the parchment, im gordo, v'nishtayir sham yerach ktana, if you scrape it a bit and what's left there is a little bit, it's kasher. The imlav, puzzle. Right? Meaning, so the gimel now is presumably touching the next letter. If you scrape away a little bit of it and there's still enough left to the gimel, it's kasher. And if not, not. Reb Zeira b'shem Ashi'an bar Nidbe Nikev Nekev be'emtza bet. He made a hole in the letter bet, in the middle of the bet. Can you draw me a hole in the middle of the letter bet?
It'll probably look like a bet.
He drew a hole.
Yeah, good. There's a hole in it. Good. There was a hole in the middle of the bet. So he says, "Im haya hagvil makifo mikolzad kasher, v'imlav pasul." If there's gvil on all sides, it is still fine, and if not, not. So according to Yerushalmi, is hakafat gvul. Right, here's your next nafkamina. Right, how you know whether it's actively you need cloth or you just can't have it touch another letter? Which is what happens if it's not touching another letter? It's touching a. A hole. So what does he say? What does the Yerushalmi say? The Yerushalmi thinks, is Hakavit Gvul about not touching another letter, or is it about actively having parchment space?
Actively.
Parchment space. And therefore he says, if you put a hole in the middle of the letter, so if it's in the middle of the airspace, but there's still parchment that touches every part of the bed on the inside, so then it's
kosher.
Well, but if the hole is adjacent to the ink, then what?
It's puzzle.
Well,
they still both require parchment.
What?
You still have those. It's still a puzzle semi-tar.
No.
Really?
No.
You could continue reading.
And Amar Abzeira Azir of Chizda, okay, Rav, try and plegan al Shitazi, the Ashen Barnid, Bechavraya. So the Shem Barnid, Rav Yochanan, Dani Ir, Vedozios, Istan, and a Kashir, and a Pasol, or Ada, Bar, Shem Rav Yochanan, Mandar, and Kashir, and a Mandar, and a Vatamala, and Gar, and Tainu, Tifar Tainu, Schad Shricha, and Devar, Dachad Shricha. And that's a complicated Yerushalmi. Let me go through that slower.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. But anyways, at this line of the Yerushalmi, the first line of the Yerushalmi, it's clear. Then the Yerushalmi continues. So let's go back. And he says, Amar Abzira, Asya de Rav Chisda, Ki Rav. Rav Chisda holds like Rav, Ucharvehon pligan al shitate da ashen bar nidba. They both argue on Asha bar nidba. Because they seem to hold that what? Right, because he says, Chavraya Amros and Ashi Bar Nidba Kirb Yochanan. Right, Ashi and Bar Nidba thinks. So, like Rabbi Yochanan, the Tani, Ire Veda Ozios, if you mix up the letters, right, you mix them together, you interwove them. Is Tanai Tani Kosher? Is Tanai Tani Puzzle? One says it's good, one says it's bad. Rabbi Ada Rashim Rabbi Yochanan, Mandem or Kosher? Can we get me a Yerushalmi? Do we have a Yerushalmi? We do, right? Get me a Megillah.
This Yerushalmi is all confusing.
Yeah.
In the first case with the gimel,
yeah.
Is that saying that you have to scrape away that part and then if there's enough, it's kosher? Or is it saying, you know, if theoretically you...
No, you have to scrape it away first of all to separate it.
As opposed to saying, you know, theoretically, if you were to do that, and it would be okay, then it's kosher.
Yeah, no, it sounds like... Right. Okay. Megillah Aleph Tet. Okay.
It's a little confusing.
Yeah, this is, yes. Okay, here we go. Fine. Try this one more time. Reb Zeira Rishim Reb Chizda. Haya Gimel Michale Eragvil. Okay, so maybe I should have given you one line before that. Yeah, let's go one more line. I think that's what I left out one line here. Reb Zeira B'Shem Rav. Yes, I left out one line. Makes a little bit more sense. So Reb Zeira B'Shem Rav. Nikev Nekev B'Recho Shel Hay. If there's a hole on the right side of the hay. Okay? Im Gordo V'Nishtayer Shem Yerach Tana. If you would, like, cut it away... And there would still be enough left on the letter, right? Meaning, like, if, let's say where the hole is, if theoretically you would make that part of the letter disappear and it would still be a kosher hay, so then it's fine. Right? You understand why? Guys, you understand why? No? You're like, that. Right? He's saying like this. If you have a letter...
Is he saying that's
like we'll do this like you know YMCA style, right? If you have a hay, right, and need a hole, right, on the bottom of the leg here, just point somewhere where there's a hole, right? There's a hole that touches the letter. So now, if from above the hole, you would pretend that the letter started at the hole, everything below the hole disappears, right. And it would still be a kosher hay. So then, it's kosher because you can just forget that that piece exists.
It's considered mukavvil, or it's
yeah. It's called mukavvil.
But why is that? I don't get why that's...
One second. Vimlav, puzzle, and if not, it's puzzle. Why? According to the Yerushalmi here, do you actively need parchment?
No.
Yes! Right? Because a hole would puzzle it. The only way it's not puzzle is if you just erase the part next to the hole and imagine just the part above it. Would that still be a kosher letter?
Whoa.
Yes? No?
Yeah.
If you had a gimel, right? It goes all the way to the bottom of the page, right? All the way to the gvil. So again, does that work? No, because Yerushalmi thinks you need. You actively need gvil, and that's why here, right, the question we said before, what if it goes to the end of the page? That's what this means. Mechale de gvil means it goes to the end of the page. Right? So the halacha is? It's pasul. What's the only way to kosher it? Imgurdum, and ishtarshim yarech tana kosher. If I could scrape away part of the gimel, and now it would still be thick enough to be a gimel, but there's also space, so then it's kosher.
Right?
Meaning if I made a very, very, very thin gimel, right? And it goes all the way to the edge of the page. What happens if I try to make a little bit of space in the gimel? I get rid of the gimel. But if I made a nice, big, thick gimel, and it goes all the way to the end of the page, then you...
Just get rid of a little and it's still kosher.
Yeah. You know, it's basically, right, like... You know. I don't know if you've noticed, right, on my pages, right? The way I get so much on the page is I get rid of margins, right? Right? If I got rid of here, there's at least some margin, right? But if I decided I wanted to fit even more text and I kept doing it all the way to the margin in the font that I printed in, which is not big, right? You know, if you so much as like, you know, if the printer was so much as a millimeter off in printing, then you would be missing the entire first row. Here, I've given myself, you know, a centimeter on each side, right?
That happens so many times. They print and like half of it's missing.
Okay. Correct. But the closer it is, right? The bigger the letter, right? Think about it. What he's saying is if you have a nice big letter, right? If the printer misprints, right? You know, if you make a big happy birthday sign or a good happy birthday example, right? And it's huge, and every letter is on a separate page, right? You're making one of those, you know, big signs that you know you're putting on a chain, and
yes.
You know, right? What happens if the printer is off by a centimeter or two? Will the H look like an H?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole page, right? Nice, yeah. Big, thick, right? But what if you, right, are, you know, you take a snap, take a snapshot of, like, a text message, right, and print it in real size, right?
Jeez.
And then try printing it, right?
Yeah.
Right, or no, look, here, you have a thin crack in the phone, right? I got to replace my screen again, right? So, right? The 1243 over here, right, you can fully make out because the fact that a crack goes through it doesn't obscure it because it's big enough that, right? But the letters, right, but the letters it goes through, the tiniest little crack, right, throws it off. So, so that's what Mora says about the gimel. Maybe you made a nice, big, thick gimel and it went all the way into the page to scrape it a little bit and you're fine. If it's a thin gimel, when you scrape it, what's going to happen?
It's going to be possible.
Yeah.
So he's saying, the Yerushalmi is saying, as long as you can...
Oh, sorry. I take it back. No, Gavi is right. According to the Karban Eida, I'm reading that if you actually scraped it off. The Karban Eida thinks Gavi is right. That you don't actually have to scrape it. It's just imaginary. Like, if I could scrape it,
then,
and there would still be enough space left, that even if I didn't scrape it, I can imagine that it's scraped away.
So you're showing me saying that if it's not Mukaf Tefil, but you could possibly make it...
Because, well, that's because I pretend that part of that gimel is just blackened veal rather than the gimel.
I don't like it.
Right? That's how the Karban Eida is understanding it, according to like Gavi did. Which is that I don't even have to do that. It's just that I can imagine that gimel is scraped away and say half of that is a gimel and half of that is black veal.
I don't like that.
I didn't say I liked it either, but okay, fine. But that's how he understands it. But it's clear, according to him, that veal is, right, simply actively you need parchment around. What if you have a hole in the middle of the bet? So again, again, this is the Yerushalmi Lashitaso. That Mukav Gvil means active space, and therefore a hole in the middle of the letter is also problematic. It's not touching any other letter, but it's lacking
parchment. If you could scrape away some of the base.
No, so here it's just that if you have a hole smack in the middle, but there's enough parchment on all four sides, right? Like, imagine it, right? In the Torah, there's no dot in the bet. But if where there would be a dot in the bet, there's a hole, there's still plenty of space. There's still parchment touching the whole bet.
But let's say it is the hole is touching the bet if you scrape away some of the bet.
So here it's...
considered kosher, according to Yerushalmi, or...
So, no. Seemingly not. Now, Amar Abzera, Asher of Chizuk Kirav... right, and then the Yerushalmi says, like Nachum says, that this is the machlokes, right? That this is the machlokes because Rabbi Zeira, which Varim Vigal Shitasei Dasha Bar Nidga, why? Right, because Rav said that all these theoretical scrapings away work, right? What does Ashin Bar Nidba say?
You actually need...
Right, theoretical scraping doesn't work. You actually need... Right, not just theoretical gvil, you need...
Actual
gvil.
Wait, so you could scrape it away.
And therefore he says, well, you can't scrape it away. There actually has to be parchment around the letter. That's what he says.
This is a Sefer Torah.
No, this is a Sefer Torah.
I thought you need Ksiva Tavla.
Still, even Ksiva Tavla it would be.
He's saying if he could scrape it away, and it's still Ksiva Tavla, then
it would be halachically... Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
And then he says, if you mix the letters, what is mixing the letters? This is, according to the Karban Eida, this is the Tet Chaf example of the Re. Right? Is that kosher or not? So he says, one says that's kosher, one says it's pasul. And he says, And they're not arguing it. Man yamar kasher milamatan, man yamar paso milamalon. He says it depends. If it's kasher, kolomai, they're not arguing. Lo bli man yamar kasher she'ervan milamata, kigon shekozot tifartenu, kazunun vav shavev betochanun, even shavav betoch hemshechanun, shilamata kasher. He says what the way the Karban Eid understands it is if the lamed goes into the hay, that's pasul. When it says it's kasher, it's only this. If you can see this. Right, he writes it. Where the vav, the nun has its full space, the vav then like goes a little bit too far down. Right? So like it goes into space that's not it, but it left enough space for the nun.
Okay.
Here's how he draws it. You can see. Right? He says, where is it?
Okay.
Nun vav, right? Where the vav goes a little bit too long, right? It's clearly encroaching in the nun space, but the nun gets space. Right?
Let's
see, that vav goes a little bit too far, it's encroaching, but not invalidating it totally. Got it? The nun, that vav goes a little too far.
We have all rights to shoot.
Okay. Yeah. Right? The nun vav. Right? Where the vav's encroaching on it, but it still leaves enough space that the nun still has, as opposed to a hay and a lamed. But the Yerushalmi, therefore, by the way, holds like who? Like the, remember, like back going back to Tosos, according to this day in the Yerushalmi, when they are mu'ura, right? This is the Yerushalmi l'shitaso. That, what does mukavvil mean?
Surrounded.
And therefore, not only is it surrounded, a hole doesn't count, and even mu'ura doesn't work. Why? Because it's not its own airspace. Right? So that is the Yerushalmi.
So the Shita that said that you have to actually erase it, instead of just imagining to erase it, if you don't erase it, it's not kosher. Right? So isn't that not writing by erasing?
Good. So now you come to our next question, right? Which is going to... okay. Yes. The question of now Chaktocha. Yes. Wait a second. How can it be that you're saying that you can solve this by scraping it away? Isn't that a problem? It's a problem of writing by erasing, what we call chaktocha, rather than writing.
Right, but he's going to say, oh, but it's still readable, so
it's... So look at the Rashba.
But it's not kosher.
Look at the Rashba. The Rashba in 6 says... Shalta. Sefer Torah shows you Shabbat Eina Mukavetz Gvil. If you have a Sefer Torah that is not Mukavetz Gvil, V'chen Sheish Bo Tawiyot, El B'Shein B'Chol Davidav Arba Tawiyot, and has mistakes, but not 4 per page, right? In the Sefer Torah, as we'll see, that's the standard, 4 per page. Whether you're allowed to, that, at which point you're still allowed to kosher it. Right? No, you can't have any mistakes, but you're allowed to kosher it as long as the mistake, right? Imutu L'Kroz Bo B'Tzibor Imlav. Are you allowed to... Read with it. Because some people said that maybe you don't need mukav vil by anything by tefillin and mezuzah, which is what we're talking about. So he says, tshuva. So he quotes the Gemara in our Masechta, and he says, perek hakomets, arba parshas shebet tefillin makvot zozo, vafilu ktav echad me'akvan. Pshita lo tzicha lekoshel tzayud. Hamnami pshita lo tzicha legrav Yehuda kol oot. De'ein gvil makifotav me'arba ruchotav psula alma eina oot. V'vnei sh'aninu kalechon ma'akev b'tfilin mezuzah lo sh'aninu ken b'sfarim yeish lomer d'tfilin mezuzah dafka amrav lo b'sfarim achim. He says, first of all, the sugya that we read in Chavtet appears identically later on about tfilin, but it never appears explicitly about Sefer Torah. So maybe it's not about Sefer Torah. So what does the Rashba say to that?
Nope.
Narishkeit. Right? Now, that Hava Amina clearly thinks that is Mukav Gvil about defining writing?
Yeah.
She's arguing with. No! Because well, he's saying, even by Sefer Torah, you don't need it. Right? Not the Rashba, the person he's arguing with.
Yeah.
Clearly, he thinks that's just some like weird little, you know, special halacha. So, Vilesa, that's wrong. The Kol Shekein is Sefer Torah Chamor Mayhem. He said, Narishkeit, you don't have to tell me it's by Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah is the most Chamor of them all.
All the more so.
Vim Mitzvil Mitzuzur Kein Kol Shekein be Sefer Torah. And he says, furthermore, Damarav kol ot ing vil makifo da psula. Besides, when it says it's invalid, alma eina ot kamar. It's not a letter. If it's about not being a letter, achad eina ot mali sefer tar mali tefillin umezuzot. Right, once you say it's a lack in writing, then it applies always or nowhere. V'im tomar, maybe you'll tell me v'kom bakom lo yehei elo sh'ota od chasra legamre in chazir od achad makvad bo. Maybe you'll tell me no, only if a letter is missing in its entirety is makev. V'ayisoda sh'ini shamar sh'in dagmeta utab sh'irov sh'asever dvukar afilo arba adjir b'chol dav adav chasir sh'atadon sh'in v'il makev v'sever Torah imkein afilo kulo v'im yishim chisar na chasra le yelavada ilo sh'nat v'ilom zuzuv lo sh'asever Torah v'shin makev v'il makev oda ina od. And he says, whenever Gvil isn't invalid, so maybe the letter isn't. It's about a Mishnah, the Megillah, etc. So the first thing the Rajva says is this is true in?
Everything.
All of Stam, but only Stam because it's a din in? Ksiva Tama. Okay?
What's only true in Stam? I'm sorry.
But this is only true in Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah.
Right, okay.
But in all of them. Right. Okay? Now there's another part of this Rajva, this Bechok Tachol, but I cut it out for you and gave it to you in the Beis Yosef. Okay?
What is he saying that Ksivat, Makif Kvil makes it Ksivat Tama, or he's saying?
Yeah. Right, so he's very clear that this is about Ksivat Tama.
So it's still letter.
Okay, so let's just summarize where we got to so far. So far what we've seen is the machloket about whether it's a din in Ksiva at all, a din in Ksivat Tama, and maybe even only a din in certain Svarim, but the Rajba rejects that. And then we got into the question of what is Mukav Kvil? Does it mean that you actively need parchment, or that just that it can't be touching other letters? The Chaf Tet case being the test. Let me see. We have time to do the next point. It's 53.
So you need a blower, right? You need a blower, and you need an instrument, right, that will produce the call.
Wait, so is he saying that Makif? So the Rashba is saying.
Should we leave the Chag Tochot for tomorrow?
Yes.
That's complicated. Yeah, that's complicated. I'm not going to rush through that. That's what I put in. Okay, so tomorrow, I want you to look at how this plays itself out. By looking there, and looking in the Beis Yosef.
A lot of Shulchan Aruch. I like it.
What?
I like the Shulchan Aruch.
Oh, good.
It's easy reading, so easier.
Right. Okay. Now I'll just point out that in the Kiryat Sefer in 7.
Now, is this a Sefer or the town of
Kiryat Sefer? The Meiri in the Kiryat Sefer makes it clear, and we won't read it inside, but he makes it clear that from the Yerushalmi, you don't actually need active Gvil, right? You could just have the theoretical possibility of Gvil.
Like the first opinion of the Yerushalmi.
Right. Now, by the way, that also works with the position that what? That what you need is Gvil, right? Meaning, maybe just make this point. The fact that the Yerushalmi says that you can have theoretical scrape away and it be called Gvil makes it clear that how does Yerushalmi understand Gvil? It's about the presence of parchment, not about space. Because is there space? No, there's actual ink there. Right? Through the Yerushalmi, it's that you need a status called parchment.
But in between that and a kosher letter.
In between that, no, you just need parchment.
So it could be a letter touching the end of the page and it still be considered mukaf kvil.
If there's enough ink that you could theoretically scrape it away, that's exactly the point. Got right? It. It's saying that there's a category called kvil, therefore even technically the kvil is covered in marker, right, not marker, in dio. It doesn't matter because halachically speaking, you need kvil and you have kvil.
Wait, so why can't you say that the other letters, like, let's say you have a dalet touching a hey, or let's just say that hey still counts as... That still counts as mukaf kvil because there's still parchment touching the film. I don't get that.
Right, but right. The point is that he doesn't think it means a blank space. It needs kvil.
Right, so a dalet
right?
could be.
So that's another point, right? So what Miri is making clear is that Yerushalmi doesn't think that kvil means blank space. It means parchment.
Yeah, so a dalet and hay could be touching it. It's still considered mukaf kvil because there's still
potentially kvil. If it's thick enough. Potentially, right. Okay, what I want to do is deal with the Chag Tochot tomorrow, and also the Beis Yosef introduced an interesting position that so far we've been dealing with the possibility that Mukav Kvil requires the letters to have whatever it is. But the Beis Yosef can raise a possibility that it's not true. Mukav Kvil is only when you write the letters, but later on, if they start touching, it's fine. It's only that when you write it, they can't be touching. And we got to analyze that position also, okay? So, and we'll finish this.